for tuning in to The Queer Truth, a podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, D-Nice.
Name is D-Nice. About to come through. I'm going to make you learn my name. So
I know your name. I just said your name. Why are you hating? Oh, it's a beautiful name. Look.
D-Nice is taken by somebody.
My name is Key.
It's not me.
And I know how to pronounce Black names. Thank you. So there was a lot going on in pop culture this week. Obviously, the thing making the headlines is not what we're starting with today. I want to talk about something more interesting. Mm. Black girl gamers matter. So on Blavity, there was this article talking about why Black girl gamers matter. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know if something sparked the discussion. It's obviously not a new discussion. But because I follow someone who's big in the gaming industry, her name is Tanya DePass. And this is something she feels quite passionate about. She tweeted, quote, "I actually despise the term girl gamer. It's why I try to change it to women who game or something else. Part of it is the internal reaction to girl being used on me as a 40-ish adult. There's also that baggage of Black women being called girl or gal as a diminutive by racists. Same as when an adult Black dude is called boy. However, this is not the same as my peers, other Black women in a certain age range saying, hey, girl, or me going, so girl, let me tell you about, for example." End quote. She goes on a little further in that thread. But I thought it was interesting because we did talk about the article that Linda Shavers wrote a while back in Elle talking about why she doesn't like Black Girl Magic as a hashtag. Mm. So I thought it would be important to discuss this aspect. Black girl gamers. How do you feel about it?
I'm not triggered by the word girl. And you know this, you know, I have another thing that I do where girl is in the name and I don't feel any kind of way about it. I'm fine with it. There's Black Girls Code. There's, mm-hmm. but that's specifically geared towards Black girls. I should add that. And there's a lot that happens that uses the girl name. There's a history to the usage of the word girl on grown women, which is this infantilizing effect, this patronizing effect that it has. Like, we're never grown-ups. We're always treated as children. And I recognize that. I just myself maybe missed the boat on that. And I don't get triggered by that word at all. Like, I don't have a sensitivity to that. I don't feel that people have to call me woman or miss or lady or anything like that. So I really identify with girl. I understand that there is a gender disparity. Like, people don't call grown men boys on a regular basis, mm-hmm. or organization that are primarily made up of grown men, a boy organization or a boy this. Why?
Well, why does the community of Black women who game need to be called Black girl gamers? I mean, obviously there are Black women calling themselves this, right? The article that I mentioned is on Blavity. It was written by a Black author who is a woman. Mm-hmm. But I'm, you know, it's kind of like Black girl magic. I'm not feeling that. And I don't feel Black girl gamer. I'm not a gamer, I should add. I definitely couldn't identify as a gamer. I play games from time to time. But, you know, it's already hard to get me on, like, Words with Friends. So.
Oh, goodness. Like, what is a Candy Crush? I don't
know. I've never played Candy Crush. Never played it.
So. Listen, I hear you. With gamers particularly, I don't know the stats on this, and so this is a wild, wild guess. Mm-hmm. It would not surprise me if the amount of girls under 21 that are playing games, that population is more than everyone over 25 in terms of every girl. Every woman over 25 playing games. So it wouldn't surprise me if that is a primarily very young population. Mm. Maybe that's why she felt very comfortable using that word. Mm-hmm. I think in tech, girl is used everywhere for women.
Yes, which is problematic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Tanya DePass is trying to put these boundaries on it, because she's been in the game. No pun intended. She's been in the game. She's been in the industry for quite some time. You know, she has a big following. She's invited to go to a lot of different places. She's very public about a lot of different aspects of her life, about her queerness, about her anxiety, about her insomnia. And I think it's important when you are public facing the way she is, that you perhaps install some boundaries if, you know, people are listening to you. But I think the issue for me comes from the fact that I don't really hear a lot about boy gamers. I hear a lot about bro gamers. That is actually a thing.
I don't hear a lot about boy anything, right? So True. You don't hear a lot about gay communities. So girl communities exist, and they really mean woman communities. And that happens a lot.
Why can't they just be gamers?
Like, why does gender matter within the gaming community?
No, I know why it matters within the gaming community. Okay. But what I'm like, when we're referring to them, why does it have to be like so specific? There's this idea that only ethnic minorities build communities. You know what I'm saying? So like, you don't hear a lot about like the white community, but anytime you talk about Black folks, all of a sudden we're a community. There's the Black gamer, girl gamer community. There's the Black community. There's the Black queer community.
Right. Some years ago, and I have to say, this article on Blavity falls short. It's like three words. It doesn't give any
Very true.
context.
Very true.
It doesn't give any history about the gaming community and specific struggles that Black women specifically have within it. Mm-hmm. So some years ago, for people that don't know, there was Gamergate. And this highlighted we talked about it, and this highlighted the issues that specifically that women have within the gaming community. Women, all women, right, have within the gaming community. But in the aftermath of that, the faces that sort of rose to be the public facing feminist faces that came out of that were predominantly white faces, of course. We know this happens a lot. And I think that there wasn't a whole lot of intersectionality in the way that the pushback to that happened. That could have been discussed. There's so many different angles that could have been discussed. And I just feel like this article on Blavity falls short. It's just like, gaming's a thing. Black girls do it. It's just like, that's about it. That's all she's saying.
Yeah, that's really all she says. She only leaves us with one name. Her name is Tori. And the article is entitled, Why Black Girl Gamers Matter. Anyway, moving on. Did you want to talk about the Grammys? Is there something that you wanted to talk about with the Grammys beyond the Beyonce memes?
Beyond the Black women were robbed at the Grammys.
Were they?
Beyond that? I don't know. They couldn't throw like a participation medal at SZA. They couldn't do that. They couldn't like, thanks for coming, SZA.
Well, I don't know how I feel about Bruno Mars sweeping. I love the album. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I do love 24K. I really enjoy Bruno Mars. He's growing on me with each album, I have to admit. I enjoyed the live performance with Cardi B. It was her first time performing at the Grammys. It was very fun. She gave him a lot of love on Instagram, and he reciprocated that love. But I don't know how I feel about Bruno, like, just taking home all the things.
On top of Kendrick Lamar.
On top of Kendrick. That really hurt. That really, really, really hurt. I feel like Kendrick had the album of the year and he was robbed.
I feel like the Grammys really need to start being genre specific at this point, because it's clear that the people that vote for who's going to win the Grammy just want pop. They only want pop. So if you have a rap, so look, there's Childish Gambino, there's Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar, and Lorde. I feel really only Lorde and Bruno had a chance, to be real. And it isn't about anything more than the genres. For album of the year specifically, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that a rap album has a serious chance at a Grammy unless it's like the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, which is ridiculous, right? Like, how you not, right? But unless it's something so outrageously breaking all barriers. Which Miseducation was also had its poppy moments. To sure, be quite sure.
I don't know if they were recognized as such then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's this, yeah. It's so clear to me that they weren't. They're not ready to look at all genres equally.
Yeah, I mean, for me, for example, because you talked about SZA with the Best New Artist category, I was just like, I thought it was going to come down to Lil Uzi Vert and SZA. Lil Uzi Vert is literally on everybody's album right now. Everybody wants to work with him. A lot of people are inspired about him. You know, music critics love him. And similarly, SZA, you know, comes out with this first album. It's amazing. It got a lot of play. It was talked about a lot among music critics. And nothing. I don't even know how she pronounced her name, but Alicia Cara or Alicia. I don't know. And I was just like, who? How is this the person who wins? Because this person in my music world, and I do listen to a wide variety of music podcasts to kind of stay on top of things, got very little play, got talked about very little. I mean, you know, I don't watch the Grammys anymore. I haven't watched the Grammys in a long time, but I felt like, I guess we have to talk about it because it's the Grammys.
Okay, so let me tell you what else was robbed. Despacito.
Really?
Was robbed for Song of the Year. How is that not the Song of the Year?
The Song of the Year or the Record of the Year?
Song of the Year category. Song of the Year. Song of the Year. First of all, Bruno winning everything. I don't know what kind of payola he got. He won Album of the Year, Record of the Year, Song of the Year. Okay? Song of the Year.
Song of the Year is different from Record of the Year, though.
I know.
Okay.
That's why I said Record of the Year, Song of the Year.
Okay. I'm just making sure. So why do you feel like it needs to be Song of the Year?
Despacito?
Yeah.
Come on now. That's just without any explanation. You know Despacito was the Song of the Year.
Yeah, I could see it as the Record of the Year. I don't know about Song of the Year. Because Song of the Year is more about the writing, the producing. And I feel like, Record of the Year, yeah. You know, that's the record that everybody wanted to play, wanted to hear, had fun with.
I tell you who else was robbed. Kesha was robbed.
Yeah, she was. I agree.
What is it, Ed Sheeran?
Let me tell you what an Ed Sheeran is. Spotify came out saying that one of his songs had been streamed over 7 billion times. It was the most streamed song on Spotify of the year. It was like, I don't even know how many billions. That's how big Ed Sheeran is, apparently. But, you know, I think he has a great story. He had a very uncool and unhard childhood. You know, no one probably ever thought he would be a pop star, but he misappropriates. So I don't have a lot of love for that. Someone who's just stealing the culture. And then after being called on it, finally admits what we all knew. Yeah, that is a TLC. That's a TLC sample. Yeah, we knew that, bruh. That's what you needed to say from the jump. But of course he's going to win because the Grammys is about who's getting played. We saw that already with Adele and Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Adele got played more. Adele sold more albums. Adele is what the people who vote hear. And those same people hear Ed Sheeran.
But how are we influencing Black people, that is? Influencing so much culture and winning so few Grammys. That's a problem.
That's a problem.
We're always on the stage. And I have another question. Is Bruno Mars Black? I'm so confused right now.
Bruno Mars is multiracial.
Okay. Is he kind of like a rock adjacent Black? A Dwayne Rock Johnson Black?
Yeah.
I've been hoping that he's like kind of a Dwayne.
Yeah. He's black. He's like the Rock kind of Black.
Because I mean, I felt like the consensus on Black Twitter was he ain't Black. So, and I'm like, how? Because I'm looking at his hair. I'm so confused. What's happening? Is it me? Am I the only one? Has Bruno spoke on it?
You know, because I'm new to the Bruno scene.
Okay.
I don't know how he personally identifies, but, you know, I'm new to the Bruno Mars game, right? He was born in 1985. I think it is a good comparison with The Rock, because as far as I know, he's from Hawaii. He was born in Hawaii. He comes from a family of musicians, but at how how he personally identifies, I don't know. I know his father is half Puerto Rican and half Ashkenazi Jewish. That much I do remember.
Puerto Ricans are Black. They don't like to hear that.
But, oh, yeah. I'm not. Nobody on this podcast is saying otherwise.
Okay. They
and
got
his mom,
here.
And his mom is, you know, Filipino with Spanish ancestry. So that I remember, you know, that he's quite multiracial.
So everything but explicitly of African descent. So I got a list here. It's Ukrainian, American, what is American?
Okay.
Ukrainian,
we don't need
Filipino,
to go over the
Hispanic,
list that I just
Jewish,
provided
Hawaiian,
us with.
Puerto Rican.
I just provided us with all that. I just did
that's
that.
Hey,
okay.
Hispanic.
So.
He's like a potluck of ethnicity.
Yes.
It's amazing.
But you know, he's very clear, though. He is very clear around who influenced him.
Right. But his non-Blackness was very concerning for a lot of Black Twitter.
Well, you know, we've had conversations about that, and I don't agree with how Black Twitter handles race most of the time. So, because if you haven't understood race by now, and you just worried about people's complexion, that's problematic. Moving on, there was something that you wanted to discuss. Let's get it over with. We don't have a lot of time.
Rose McGowan.
So break it down. Get it out. Let's go.
Champion of feminist rights. Ending rapists. We know it. Sexual assault. No, that's not happening. But Rose McGowan, for those who don't know, was an actress who came out and said Harvey Weinstein raped her. One of the first actresses to come out and publicly accuse Harvey of overt sexual assault. Was blackballed because of it in the industry, had some losses. But it's very kind of shoots from the hip, doesn't think a lot before she speaks or tweets, and has wound up in trouble time and again for it. Once for essentially implying that Black women don't exist, right?
So we talked about that on a recent episode. So what do you want to talk about today?
She has a book called Brave, mm-hmm. and was on a book tour doing an event, and people came to hear her speak. And in the audience was a trans woman who stood up and confronted her on her history of transphobic things that she had said. She was very angry in her retort, seemed to be a bit confused or disjointed at some times, but said explicitly, trans women are women, and referred to the trans women as sister. Mm-hmm. At the same time, was like, shut up, go away. I'm not from the same planet as you. I don't play by your rules. I don't subscribe to your language and your rules, this mm-hmm. kind of talk. And basically shut the woman down and had her taken away by security.
Security was already there.
Security was already there. But, you know, yeah. If Rose had said from the podium, we want to hear her speak.
Well, she wasn't speaking at some point. At some point, she was right. She was yelling.
This was very concerning, especially for queer people on the Twitters. Felt that Rose shut down a trans woman, and this was an opportunity to somewhat redeem herself or come clean about her trans record, her record of saying transphobic things. And she wasn't able to do that. Instead, she sort of doubled down on her position of power. My response on that, Rose is basic. She was basic, mm-hmm. right? The only reason she got caught up in Me Too stuff is circumstance. Sometimes there are people that fit marginalized identities that do a thing that seems extremely radical. Mm-hmm. And then we put on this whole body politic on that layers on them. We want them to subscribe to this whole body politic, but they're just a person that did a thing that one time. We see this with Chelsea Manning, right? Who ended up at a white supremacist gathering and then doubled back and said that she was just collecting intel while she was drinking and chilling with white supremacists. And now she's running for office. We see this with Rose McGowan. This isn't very hard for me to pick up.
Why is it important for you to talk about it today?
I think it's important for me to talk about it because what happens with this model of direct confrontation that the trans woman did is that I think that we don't have a whole lot of models for how people can respond to it and what we want out of a direct confrontation. Do we just want to expose a Rose McGowan? Because she's already on tape saying transphobic stuff. She's already tweeted things that were anti-Black, right? So we already know who Rose McGowan is. What are we doing when we disrupt those spaces? And is that a strategy we want to continue with in terms of our energies? Because now I'm afraid for this trans woman, right? To be quite honest, I'm afraid for her. Because if her identity ever gets out there, I feel like there's a whole Rose army, right, that's ready to just
I wouldn't throw things into the atmosphere that haven't been stated.
Haven't happened here. But yeah, I wouldn't put it past them. So was this the best use of her energies?
I already said that. I don't think so. So I think it was a waste of time. I don't know why Rose's reaction is a point of discussion, because it's not surprising. That doesn't make it right, but it's not surprising. She was angry. Okay. The trans woman disrupted. It didn't seem like she had like an agenda on the disruption. It seemed like it was more of a spontaneous or emotional disruption. I don't know. I don't think it's special. I think the only reason it's getting airtime is because it was Rose McGowan.
Do you think it will affect Rose McGowan's book sales opportunities?
No. And what do you think? She had full support. I don't follow this woman. I don't care enough about her to follow her. I don't know who the people are who support her. All I did is see the video. In the video, people were mostly supportive. They said, you know, don't worry, blah, blah, blah. We feel you. We get you. Whatever. And what we know from most people is, and it doesn't matter, it's a human thing. If they support someone, they support someone. It's going to take a lot more than one video of the person having an emotional response that most people will find a way to defend to say, oh, this person is bad. This person shouldn't be supported.
This piqued my interest because I think a lot of people are looking for ways to confront or disrupt things that they don't agree with or that they don't like. And this is definitely the most accessible way, you know, to someone. If you see they're coming to your town and then you show up and then you disrupt it in this way. I've had that happen here. And I wonder, am I the person that's just too old or too not with it that says, yeah, I'm not going to spend my energy that way? Is that me just kind of not being down enough? Or does that really serve a purpose? And so that's kind of the question I've been struggling with. Is this direct action that we're seeing actually serving a purpose that I don't see? I don't know. But that's all. Those are the questions that I had. Another thing I didn't like is people put mental illness on top of Rose's behavior. Rose was angry and emotional. I don't think anything that she said or did fell outside of the realm of what we call normal human behavior. Mm-hmm. None of it fell within the realm of what one would say within the mental illness spectrum. People behave in odd ways when confronted spontaneously with things that they did not expect. So yeah, I wish people would stop doing that. Mental illness does not make you bigoted. It doesn't make you biased. It doesn't make you Rose McGowan, that's for sure.
In our second segment, Cakes the Killer last night reminded us several times that it is Black History Month in the U.S. I feel like the audience wasn't ready for him, because he was definitely doing the most. And here in London, it is Queer History Month, LGBTQI History Month. So I get the best of both worlds. Yay! But what tends to happen, there was a great clip that people were sharing on Twitter. I mean, it's on, you know, it's on MTV, and it's in the Whitney Can I Be Me documentary, where Bobby goes on a little rant, and he's like, you know, why is Black History Month the shortest month of the year? This always comes up, but this is something that we chose, what a lot of people might not realize. And he's like, we need to have a whole year of Black History. How about that? Every 2 years, we get the whole year of Black History. But what basically happens in Black History Month is that people put on a few events. Here in London, for LGBTQI history, there, you know, are certain events. One tonight at the Wallace Collection, it's an annual event. It's a Friday late, as they call it. What does it mean? Like, what do we need to give people when they're moving into these history months? What is important to consider, to remember, how to celebrate? Are there some guidelines?
Do some research. Could y'all not talk to me about Carter G. Woodson anymore? Can we not talk about Harriet Tubman this year? I mean, I love those people, and I'm sure that they're.
Look, I'm gonna tell you something. You're gonna stay off Harriet, okay? Harriet had a major role in Underground season 2. Okay, so Harriet is very current.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Maybe it's me because, like, you know, I've never not been in a Black school, that Harriet comes up every year and it's always the same three facts about her. And if we're going to talk about people that get talked about every year, like an MLK or a Harriet, I want us to talk about things that people may not know. I'd like to focus on people that aren't as well known, but had a major role in history. So
is that what you called yourself doing on our Twitter feed?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
So on the Twitter feed, I noticed a hashtag called Black Queer Story Month, which I loved and decided to contribute to it. So every day I'm tweeting out about a Black queer icon in history and giving some information about them and just putting it on a Twitter feed one a day.
And why is that important?
It's important because I didn't even know that I had a legacy. I think a lot of Black queer people feel like, especially if they're in predominantly white areas, they feel like they're reinventing the wheel, so to speak. A lot of times the people in Black history, their queerness and their, if it's a non-heterosexual sexuality, is completely erased. So there are a lot of people that were queer that we don't know about. And if they're Black and queer, they're put on the margins. It becomes an issue.
Absolutely. Tell us about the person you posted about yesterday.
Okay, Pat Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Pat Parker was an activist and a poet and just an amazing woman that had a seminal work called Movement in Black. And then just was very out in front with her Blackness and with her womanness. And she was a lesbian and was very before her time. She critiqued closets. She critiqued hate speech. She spoke in front of the UN about the situation of women in the United States. She did collaborations with everyone you could think of, Audre Lorde. I love Pat Parker. And she was also a gender warrior, very, very butch, very open about that as well. Talked a lot about dating within the queer scene and the racism that she would get within the queer scene while trying to date. So she did a lot of this through spoken word in her poetry. I love Pat Parker.
How did you come to know her story?
I came to know her story because when I came out, she was still alive. She was still alive. And was basically this, I don't know, like Black queer elder in the community. And at that time, I was doing a lot of spoken word, and her work just became very important to me.
So give us the list, give us the rundown of things to consider when celebrating this year. So give us the list for people who are thinking about organizing or honoring the month in some form. What do they need to think about?
Organizing or the list.
For example, you started with point one, do your research.
Yeah,
right?
Do your research.
So yeah, what I just heard you say, mm-hmm. point two is make sure the people you choose are people who are maybe lesser known. And if you're mm-hmm. choosing people who are well known, give us some facts that we haven't heard yet. Going back again mm-hmm. to do your research. What I also heard you say was choose people with intersectional backgrounds, right? Mm-hmm. So don't only choose all the men that we've already heard about, not that they didn't do hard work. I love mm-hmm. Malcolm X. I can watch a Malcolm X speech today and still get chills, right? Mm-hmm. Because his words still ring true. But who else was doing it? There are a lot of people that were doing the work and they maybe weren't as famous or maybe not on every speech, but who were organizing just as much. Bayard Rustin, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, what Black people still seem to struggle with is there is no separating Black from other things. You are Black and you are woman. You are Black and mm-hmm. you are woman and you are queer. I saw mm-hmm. a really up and coming, you know, I think she was listed on the 30 under 30 list. She's been on a lot of lists. Should I say her name? I'm going to say her name. Her name is Angel Rich.
And say it again.
Angel Rich. And she has an app.
Mm.
You know, she went to HBCU. She came out of mm-hmm. that with a degree. She worked in finance. And now she's trying, using her own words, trying to like bring wealth and financial knowledge into the community that she comes from. And after a pussy hat landed on our beloved Harriet Tubman, she was outraged, right? And mm-hmm. posted that she is tired of people not honoring the hard work. And nowhere, no one has responded. This is just in the status update itself. And she says, sit down, Gaze. Yes, you.
Oh.
You haven't had the struggle that we've had for 600 something years.
Okay.
What? What does that
okay.
Okay. What does this have to do with the pussy hat on?
Wow.
So, right. And obviously, you know, people commented, I included, and mostly constructive, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of queer people, Black queer people were in there saying, hey, hold up.
We love you, but
you need to check yourself on this one, right? Mm-hmm. And I posted something very basic. I was just like, do you understand that the people leading these movements have always been Black and queer? And mm-hmm. they're tired of being in a struggle and not being able to bring their full selves into the struggle, the discussion and the solution. And I named some names.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't respond. She only responded to the person who called themselves interpreting her words for us who are obviously missing what her point was.
Right.
She responded to that person. Thank you for finding the words that I couldn't find.
And she probably didn't know the names that you listed because either their queerness was erased or...
Oh, I mentioned present day folks. I was using present day people. If she hasn't heard of Alicia Garza, hold up now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If she hasn't heard of Patrice Cullors,
I mean, and this is what kills me. Like, we don't know who's her, what's straight. Like, let's be real. Like,
we don't. No.
Don't be.
I mean, if you ask most people, they probably don't even know that MLK was cheating.
Right.
They probably don't know that. Everybody knew that. Coretta knew it. Mm-hmm. But if you ask people today who are hearing about this history fairly recently, they probably won't know that he was a regular cheater.
Okay, that's unfortunate. So that's why we need to do this education project so that people can always look at this thread and say, bam, this exists. This is something that can happen. Here, if you don't know about these people, know about these people.
In our final segment, what are we looking forward to? What are we excited about? Let me hear it.
You go first. I always go first. Stop. Go.
That's how it works.
We gonna fight about this. We gonna be in a nurse the whole night. You know what I'm saying? I always go first.
All right, fine. I'll go first. One, got to see Cakes the Killer last night. He was performing here in London. He'll be here. He's still here today. He's gonna have another performance, and I'm gonna go see him again. How about that? Because I went up to Cakes and I was like, hey, Cakes, you don't remember me, but guess what? I was rolling with your grandmama at the last performance. He about fell out laughing because then he knew I was telling the truth. You remember when we went to the pre-party hanging out with his grandma?
I was connecting with him. Yes. That was so nice. So relatable. And I just love it when people had a family there.
Yes.
But yes, mama is me.
Cakes Tequila is a Black queer man. He's a rap artist. He's a lot of fun. He does not use PC language, so if you feel some kind of way about that, you might not want to listen to his lyrics.
To the word pussy.
Yeah. He's redefined it. He has redefined it.
You want to know all about the man sex.
Yes, absolutely. And then I'm also very excited about what's going on in the Black Panther universe. I haven't looked at a thing other than some nice pictures that I saw on the red carpet because I'm not interested in any spoilers. I'm not interested in any opinions.
Until people have been good.
They have people been, but I'm not interested in any of it until I've watched the film myself. But I will say I'm very excited that Michael B. Jordan explained to the world that he is dating but basically single. Thanks for clearing that up, Michael.
I wonder if that was a condition of his
My name is Cece.
Girl, you don't want that.
Don't tell me what I want.
No. Look, I'm going to tell you.
I am a non-monogamous. I am in love with Dwayne. I am in love with Michael. I'm in love with a lot of folks. So leave me alone. Also, I was really excited to see Issa Rae on the carpet. She looked very cute. But I was a bit upset when I read that Roxane Gay was in her feelings a little bit because she didn't get an invite. How are you not going to get an invite and you writing comics?
That hurts my feelings as well.
How you don't get an invite and you writing a comic?
World of Wakanda was written by her. And that made me and my feeling a little bit. Yeah.
What are you excited about?
Also excited about the Black Panther premiere, which is premiering here in Vienna on February the 15th. And
I'm going to see it on February 14th.
You know what? Because that's what I'm talking about.
Whole podcast that week might have to be dedicated.
I know. It might be. And did you see the Goddem was sponsoring Black Panther?
Yeah, I already got my tickets, though. I wasn't worried.
Okay.
Yeah, the Q&A. A lot of people are doing the Q&A. I'm unfortunately not going to be in town for the Q&A. It's going to be a big event, so I'm going to miss that. But I don't care. I'm going to see the film. That's all I care about.
All right, that Goddem. First of all, shout out to Goddem. And that Q&A looks fire. I was actually contemplating getting on a plane. I feel like, hey. Another thing I'm excited about is that for those of you who just got the Netflix and don't want to go into the theater because you're afraid of people, hey, Black Lightning, have you checked it out?
No.
Black lesbian superhero.
Yes. It's amazing. Is it? Is it already out?
It goes, yes. It's already out.
Okay.
And Jill Scott is coming in on the third episode as a villain.
Oh, I love it.
Saw a clip and I peed on myself, people. Listen.
That's a TMI. That's what we call a TMI. Mm-hmm.
Very scary stuff.
Oh, I can't wait.
Black lady on Black lady sex scenes.
What?
Plus, they touch in all the issues in the community. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know how y'all fit all this stuff in. I got whiplash just watching it.
Well, I know what I'm doing this weekend. Done.
Do it.
Are there at least 10 episodes?
No. They figured
this is
out.
A film?
No, it's series.
Okay.
But just like Discovery, which is fire. If you have not checked out Star Trek Discovery, please do it.
Mm-hmm.
They do an episode a week. So here in Europe, at least in Austria, I only have two episodes from Netflix. The third one comes out on Tuesday, I think. And then Discovery comes out on Monday. Yes. They know. Like, we're not going to let binge people. We're gonna have eyes on us every single night. Netflix got
nice.
Smart.
Yeah, they did. Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today, so feel free to get at us. And if you can, check out our Patreon page and drop us a donation. Patreon.com/The Queer Truth. Until next time, peace out.